You are listening to Radio Aryan.
And welcome to SS Britannia. Today's date is the 13th of February 2017, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I'm joined today, of course, by my co-host Subal. Subal, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, thank you very much.
Well, that's very good to hear, especially since I hear one of your videos has been taken down, a very, very popular video, one that I wasn't actually able to see. I wasn't even able to bootleg it and grab the audio from it before it had been removed. And I heard that there were some good subjects in it that might well be worth discussing. We're talking about this train spotting video that was very popular that you released last week. I was wondering if maybe we could discuss that a little bit at first, so that I could find out what was in it, and also any of the listeners that didn't have a chance to hear it or see it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't want to over promote my own videos. The content wasn't particularly that special. I was just giving a bit of a cultural Marxist commentary on the train spotting video, and to be honest with you, it was basically kind of like clickbait. The reason I thought it was interesting was because I just think it's really good propaganda, because every time these movies come out, you know, the media, they go into, you know, they promote their movies, so there's all this propaganda, all these, you know, buzzwords floating around the internet. People are talking about the new movie that comes out, Trainspotting comes out, people are talking about it. So if we as white nationalists, if we can kind of like jump on top of that propaganda and make videos or make blog posts or whatever talking about, you know, whatever new movie has come out, then we get a bigger audience. That's what was interesting for me, because I got something like 3,500 hits with it in like 4 days. I mean, which is just massive, you know, for my tiny little YouTube channel.
That's good going.
It was like whoa, what's going on?
No wonder
and
YouTube
then,
happy.
You know, and then a week later they took it off the YouTube. So it seems to me that that little experiment struck a nerve, if you like. So
well, no, I think it's a good idea. I remember when that Denial movie came out that was attacking David Irving, and straight away they were YouTube's being put up with the Denial title in them to show people what really went on during the Holocaust, and they were very successful. So I think this is a really good idea. I think I've seen it happen a few times with the Star Wars movies and the Star Wars stuff that's come out recently as well, and people have sort of piggybacked on that. I mean, what was the bit that you were pointing out? Because it must have had something to do with train spotting.
The interesting part was that obviously in the first movie there's this famous monologue where it says "Choose life." You know, you got Renton. Everybody knows the movie. I'm sure they do. It's about, you know, the drug addicts.
The one you mean.
In the end of the movie, he steals a bunch of money from his friends, and he's like, choose life, choose a TV, choose a this and that, you know, ordinary life, whatever. And that's the famous monologue from the first movie. So in Trainspotting 2, he goes into the same monologue, but he's sitting in a restaurant and talking to this Russian girl, or this Eastern European girl. And he starts saying, choose life, choose this. And he's saying how it's a joke that his friends used to say when they were younger, you know. And he starts getting into this monologue. And then he starts getting a bit depressed and a bit angry as he's into the monologue. He starts getting a bit intense. And then he starts talking about 9/11. And then he says, I can't remember the exact words, unfortunately, because I watched it at the cinema, so I didn't, you know, memorize it. But he says something along the lines of, people say that the Jews did 9/11. So I just thought, well, I've got to do a video on this, you know, because I went to the cinema to watch it. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, I've definitely got to make a video about this. And I just thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was interesting how that managed to slip through the net. I don't believe that they would have been able to do that with a Hollywood movie, because they just, the Jews would just be like, well, just don't talk about it at all, but
not even to ridicule it. I mean, that's what it seems like they're trying to do there.
Well, they're making fun of it, but why? I mean, why even? Maybe they did it on purpose to make fun of it, but it's not an intelligent move on their part, because even if you're making fun of it, you're putting the idea out there. You make people think about it, or think that that's a thing, So, I thought, whether it was a secret red pill, or whether it was just they're making fun of us or making fun of people in general, I just thought it was quite amusing. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're just trying to mock us. I mean, to be honest, I'm surprised anyone was left alive after Trainspotting. I mean, it must have been, 20 years since the first movie came out. They're all junkies. And that's way past the average length of life for a junkie. So I'm surprised there was any of the original members left. If they wanted to make it a realistic film, obviously they weren't that interested in what happens in reality. But making propaganda like that, making YouTubes and making podcasts is really important, especially if you wish to remain anonymous. Just this week, Paul Nuttall, who is standing, he's the leader of UKIP, and he's standing for election in Stoke-on-Trent Central. He looks like he's going to win. He's 4 or 5 percentage points above Labour there. It'd be fantastic if he does win. But he's actually had to leave his home because of the threat. There's a clear present danger to his life. He's had people trying to break in through the front and the back door, people hanging around outside, putting cameras in through the letterbox. And not just him, but everybody in the house has had to move out. When they've been out campaigning in the town itself, they're having to carry all these umbrellas because they're getting missiles thrown at them, eggs and rotten fruit and all these sorts of things. And, this is what we have to put up with. I mean, we've got this violent threat against us. So even though he's not as radical as I would like him to be, I still support the guy. He's standing out there, he's made his face known, he's standing as the leader of UKIP in this election, and look at what he's having to put up with. So we have if me or you were to be out there saying the things that we're saying, we would be getting attacked as well. So we've got to remain anonymous, but at least we can still have our voice on the internet. We can still be making podcasts, people can still make YouTubes. There's another channel, Project England Rising, who makes a lot of really good YouTubes, and he adds a little bit of animation in there. But again, he remains anonymous, but it's the voice that matters, it's the message that matters, what people are saying. If you've got family that you want to protect, that you don't want to be attacked as well, then that's why people remain anonymous. I mean, last year in Germany there were 11 attempts on the lives by Antifa. 11 assassination attempts I saw in a news report last week. The news report was actually saying that over 90% of Antifa and left-wing anarchists actually live at home with their parents. They still live in their bedroom. But at the bottom of the article, it said that there were also 11 assassination attempts. So we're facing a serious threat to, to our lives, to our physical well-being, to our health, and not just us, but families as well. Families get threatened. The millennial woes, he had to leave because the threat to his family, more so than the threat to himself, because he was living at his father's house. These leftists, they have no honour. They don't think anything of threatening and intimidating somebody's family. So thankfully we do have the internet. We've able to take nationalism into the 21st century, and we can speak to a huge audience online by creating this propaganda. So the more that's produced, the better, really. I mean, it needs to be good quality. We don't want to look like idiots to people. It wants to be good quality, technically proficient, but as long as you're capable of doing that, and you've got you've got the ideas and you're creative enough, then the more there is out there, the better, I think. And that seems to me to be a very good way of doing it, Subal. Looking at what's popular, like the latest Hollywood movie or the latest music. I mean, a similar thing was going on with the with the meme music, taking popular songs and changing the lyrics and making the lyrics right wing and putting them out. I think that was a very successful tactic as well. But anyway, I just, you know, it's sad to hear that Paul Nuttall has had to move out from his house. But at the same time, this is publicising it to people. This is making it known to people the sort of threat that nationalists and patriots are facing from this left wing. I mean, it's all just violent threats and intimidation and trying to get us to be silent. None of them will debate us. You won't see any of us being interviewed or debated on the television. They'll just mock and ridicule us, and they'll sing the praises of the people that attack us, as we constantly see in these reports, especially even of America. You know, Richard Spencer gets thumped, and you know they're all supporting it in the media. They're cheering it on, saying, "Yeah, isn't it great? Let's watch this again." Making T-shirts up of it. You know, it's pretty sick behaviour from our opponents, but you know that's what we've come to expect. And the way that they learned to deal with it, obviously, in Germany, was with these brown shirts, with these security details. I'm pleased to see that the London Forum had a security detail the last time they met together, and they were able to hold off these, well, just troublemakers, basically, dressed up like they were going to rob a bank outside, throwing smoke bombs that we discussed last time, Subar. But there was a security team there to protect them. But you can't individually have a security team there all the time. So thankfully we can, you know, we can stay anonymous and use YouTube. Anyway, I'll pass it back over to you for a comment.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Paul Nuttall thing is, I mean, I think it's, well, there's a few points to make there. I mean, first of all, yes, it's becoming quite apparent to the general public that the left wing are incredibly violent. I mean, perhaps not so much in England, but definitely in America. I mean, they've been rioting ever since Donald Trump got elected. It's been constant violence on the streets, and people smashing windows, and people just in an utterly intolerant way and childish manner just saying he's not our president, and basically just insulting, you know, half of the population of the country, just saying you're a bunch of scum and you voted for this evil racist and we hate you. So it's I mean, I think this is definitely becoming apparent in America. And as far as Paul Nuttall goes, I think, obviously I do sympathize with him, but I think he needs to get on the Trump train. And I think people on the right wing in general, they are learning, and they're going to continue to learn that there is no benefit in being a moderate, apologetic right winger, because these people are not going to give you any mercy. They're going to call you a Nazi. No, I mean, they're calling Milo Yiannopoulos a Nazi, and he's a gay Jew, you know. It's so retarded. I mean, to be honest, that Berkeley riot thing might have just been staged as some, you know, controlled opposition doodah, but I don't know exactly about that, but still, they're going after anybody who even has a moderate classical libertarian opinion. I mean, they went after Farage. That's why Farage backed out of his political position. So there's just no advantage for anybody on the right wing. There's no advantage for them to distance themselves from saying radical things, or for saying, you know, for criticizing the Jewish agenda, or for not talking about race realism, or for not talking about Islam, or for not talking about any of these hot topics. There's no advantage, because they even if you're just a civic nationalist, they're going to call you a Nazi, and they're going to come around your house with bricks and try and murder you. So what's the point? You might as well just say what's really on your mind. And for the individual case of Paul Nuttall, I haven't been following him, but as far as I understand it, he made comments saying that Donald Trump's a sexist. Well, mate, I mean, there's just no, for your own safety, I would recommend to him that he gets on the Trump train and makes some kind of contact, maybe through Nigel Farage with the Trump administration, or at least vocalizes his support with the Trump administration, and in that way gets some kind of a profile, a higher profile, or you know, a wink and a nudge from that source of power in America for his own protection. And yeah, basically, you know, it's the old truth that the center never holds, and it's becoming increasingly clear. You've got these people on the moderate right; they're getting attacked by us on the far right. You know, not in an aggressive way, but in a brotherly way. We're just kind of like saying, look, guys, you know, let's talk about the JQ. And they're getting called Nazis by the left. So the center cannot hold. Things are becoming increasingly polarized. And that's the direction that 2017 is happening, is taking. And it, as far as the American civilization, just to make one more point, as far as the American situation is concerned, you know, I've seen, obviously, Andrew Anglin is calling for martial law. I think that may be the meme for 2017. You know, if the meme of 2016 was, you know, vote for Donald Trump, God Emperor and all that, the meme for 2017 could well be martial law in America. We want martial law in America, and make that a populist movement, and make Donald Trump aware that, yes, we the people, we want you to declare martial law, and we want you to clamp down on these scum, and to block George Soros from sponsoring violence in America, and to clamp down on Black Lives Matter, and just to smash these people.
Well, we haven't heard very much from Black Lives Matter recently, have we?
No, we haven't.
Feminists instead, and people that want to kill their babies, and people who love Muslims. You know, these are all the groups that Soros seems to be funding now. But I think the least the civic nationalists could do is to support Donald Trump. He's the president of America, and Paul Nuttall should be speaking, you know, voicing his support for Donald Trump the same way that Nigel Farage has for Donald Trump's policies. You know, not complaining about something he might have said 10 years ago, which was basically just common sense anyway, that women throw themselves at celebrities and will let celebrities do anything they like to them. I don't think anybody could ever argue against that. You know, he may have used some rather uncouth language to say it, but that was all he was saying. You know, he wasn't saying, you know, I can grope women, I can abuse women. He was saying women want him to, you know, to touch them or what have you. He wasn't saying he was forcing himself on them. You know, they were throwing themselves at him. That was the point.
Men talk like that all the time anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how men talk in private. And that's how women talk. Women are disgusting. The things they say to each other. What do you think? They're all angels? And it's just such utter, utter hypocrisy that you have these skanky feminists going to watch 50 Shades of Grey, fantasizing about some billionaire tying them up and whipping them. And then they turn around, and when you actually do have a billionaire that's talking about grabbing women by the pussy, all of a sudden they scream, oh, it's sexist. It's just utter. It's just disgusting.
Total hypocrisy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Total hypocrisy. It's shameful of anyone on the right to criticise Trump for that. We really need to be supporting him. And with the martial law, I think it's going to have to come to a point where the people are asking for that. Where the people are demanding that, you know, they're demanding him to have martial law and to put a stop to these anti-fascist terrorists, because that's what they are. You know, they've been used to not being prosecuted for the last 70 years. They've been used to getting away with whatever they like, knowing that their organisations are funded by people at the very top. I mean, you've got David Cameron, who's involved in Hope Not Hate. You've got George Soros funding all these organizations. So they're used to thinking, well, if we get arrested, then our backers are going to pay for the bail so that we'll get out. The judges are going to be on our side because they'll be members of our organizations anyway. So they're used to having a very easy time of it. And things are changing now. And that's what we're going to see happen in America. I'll be very interested to see what happens over here in Britain when Trump actually makes his visit over here. And the news,
oh, yes.
Good news. He's going to be speaking, hopefully, at a big stadium. So we'll be able to go and see him.
Yeah, and, fantastic. Yeah, I just saw that in the paper this morning. I was like, yes, I've got to go and see him. £10 for a ticket. Yeah, brilliant. Looking forward to it.
All the money's going to go to veterans as well, the Poppy Appeal. which will really rile up the Muslims. I mean, they've tried to put a stop to that quite a few times, the poppy appeal, and desecrate the poppies. So, you know, that's another link there. They're talking about maybe having it in London or maybe having it at Cardiff Stadium. If it's in London, then, you know, there'll be riots and protests going on outside of it, which, again, it's just makes the left look really bad, as if they cannot stand to hear another point of view. And of course, that's exactly what it is. It's all projection. When they call us a bigot, that's a complete projection. You know, we're not the ones that say nobody else should be allowed to have a voice or to have their say. They're the ones that wish to silence us and prevent us using certain words. I mean, we've never known that before in our history. You know, to not actually be able to use certain words. You know, you could say that certain ideas they may not want to hear. They may not want to hear you talking badly about the king. But to actually ban words is just ridiculous. And so many people just accept it and think that that's reasonable because it's nasty to be racist to the minorities to use these words. But they're our words. They're our descriptive words. It just seems ridiculous to me that they put so much, you know, emphasis on the written word. I mean, just today we've also had a reverend of the Anglican Church who was, I think, it was responsible for a rest home, and he's just been suspended from the church for sending an email to an MP that was critical of her for her treason, basically. This MP wanted Britain to stay in the EU, and he ended up calling her a bitch or something at the end of it, and saying, "I hope you burn in hell." Yeah. He's now lost his job for that. Yeah. Lost his job. And we used to just say...
Well, yeah, because the Christian church is there to invite Muslims into the country, obviously.
Well, yeah, and to sanctify sodomite marriage as well.
I mean, that's church values, mate. It's good Christian church. Values, that is.
It is. Do you know, they're even calling it equal marriage. This is a politically correct term for it, equal marriage. So sodomy is now equal to the production of human life.
Yeah.
The sanctity of marriage, equal to sodomy. During the most filthiest thing,
filthiest
desecration possible that is possible. You know, it's a black magic ritual, what they're doing. It's the inverse of creation. And they're saying that that's equal to normal marriage. But to you know, strike this guy off and kick him out of the church just for writing his own thoughts. I don't think he was sending them in his official capacity. This was his criticism of a traitor. And we used to say, you know, traitors in the government, they should all be lined up against the wall and shot. And that was a very, very common phrase. And yet now to make criticism like that, they try and make out that you're really actually going to go out and do that. It's very unfortunate with the MP that got shot, I think, killed, wasn't it? That Joe Cox, because they've used that as an excuse ever since. Anyone sends anything on Twitter, oh yes, but it could lead to a Joe Cox. But the guy that actually killed her never used Twitter. He never sent anything on Twitter. He never sent any hate mail, never sent any criticism to the MP. He just went out there and killed her. And yet they draw the conclusions from that people sending critical tweets or people using words that are critical of minorities are going to go and do something like that. There's link, is there?
Yeah, I'm slightly suspicious about the whole Thomas Mayer thing. I mean, I don't want to get too tinfoil hat, but for a person with absolutely no history of violence at all, suddenly go out and, you know, stab and shoot somebody to death seems to be a little suspicious. It's not that easy to kill someone. You know, you've got to, like, stab them several times, and there's going to be blood, and they're going to be screaming and begging, and it's a nasty, kind of brutal thing to actually do it. I don't know. Anyway, that's a bit too tinfoil hat, but as far as the... I'm just slightly suspicious about it, to be honest with you, but they've definitely used it as a weapon to bash the right wing. And, you know, the very fact he came out, he said, "Death to traitors." Now, if anybody ever calls somebody a traitor, all of a sudden it's, "Oh, but that's what Thomas Mayer said to Joe Cox." You know, they just pull that one out of the hat. So, it's the Joe Cox card. But, just as far as, like, the last two stories that we just discussed, I'm pretty sure that Justin Welby is a Jew, isn't he? And I'm pretty sure...
His father, I think, was, wasn't it? Wasn't his father, yeah, his father a Jew? Yeah. And then he and discovered that it wasn't really his father after all. And well, his mother had an affair.
I thought his cousin is a Jew, isn't he? His cousin's a rabbi or something. That's what I heard. And I'm pretty sure that the Speaker of the House, whose name I've just forgotten, is also a Jew. I mean, that's what they said.
Burkow. John Burkow. Hideous creature with ideas far above his station.
Here you got two Jews. Boom. It's just same old story, isn't it, really, you know?
There's been a motion of not having any confidence in him, an unconfidence, inconfidence motion.
Yeah.
Incontinence motion.
He's incontinent.
A motion of no confidence that's been brought against him by the other MPs. If enough people support it.
We
out.
We should really lionize that MP, and I think it's something, you know, just to bring it back to the propaganda point, I think it's something that we should really is really get into the heads of these MPs and get into the heads of the establishment and support these backbench Tory MPs. I mean, they're not the white nationalists that we want them to be, but they are basically our people. You know, they're the kind of like Peter Hitchin type Tory MPs that sit on the backbench grumbling about immigration. I mean, they are our people. And this seems to have worked in America. I don't know, what do you call it politically? You call it entryism, I think, don't you? I mean, they've radicalized the Republican Party. They've brought out all the, you know, the right elements of the Republican Party and pushed out the neocons. So this is something that we could do in this country, and it's something which I'm really inspired that Richard Spencer said. You know, he talked about people in Washington. They, you know, whenever they have a party, whenever they have a social gathering, it's only a matter of time before the Republicans start talking about the alt-right. Okay, now they're not talking about the Daily Stormer section of the alt-right. They're talking about the more, you know, moderate side of the alt-right, but still, it's only a matter of time till they start talking about it. So even if you don't have, you know, mass public appeal, still, if you, you know, put a YouTube video up talking about a Tory MP, you could be pretty sure that Tory MP, he might watch that video, or maybe some of his friends will, or his secretary will, or whatever. So I think even with a small group like ourselves, we could get into the heads of these people and... you know, make them understand that we support them and make them understand that we're grateful for them for, like I say, doing this small action that this one MP did in trying to kick out this Jew from being the Speaker of the House. So, yeah, it's something which we could really do there.
Well, we should keep our eye out for things like that and publicise petitions and publicise this, you know, maybe make a video up showing you all the failings of the Speaker of the House that he's had before, and all the treason against the British people, and what a slimy, creepy, horrible character he is, and obviously that, you know, that's going to help. It would probably help all the more if there was actually a petition against him to get rid of him. He's insisting that his impartiality is not being compromised by you know, making his own personal views known on Donald Trump. And the enemy, the Scottish National Party and the Labour Party, the communists, the ones that were voting against Brexit, they were all cheering him. Now, he's supposed to be part of the Conservative Party. He's a Conservative Party member, only he's not supposed to come down on the right or the left. He's just supposed to be the Speaker of the House. And he makes this speech against Trump, supporting all the leftist views, and all the leftists in the Houses of Parliament stand up and cheer and are clapping him on the back. I mean, that's a traitor. He's a traitor to his party and a traitor to the British people. And he's also been exposed as saying that he didn't want Brexit. He voted against Brexit. So what's he doing as part of a government then that for the next 2 years, are going to be engaged in trying to make the most out of moving from Europe? And you've got somebody there who is committed to sabotaging it right from the very start. He wants to sabotage it. He doesn't want it to turn out better. He wants it to turn out worse. so that he can then be proved right. There's no way he should be in the position that he's in. And he's just such a horrible character anyway. A really slimy, arse-licky character. Really disgusting the way he talks about it, isn't he? Don't you think? Really sleazy. I think he wrote a book on how to succeed with women as well in his younger days. I really can't see how someone like that would succeed with women unless it was just waving money in their faces.
Yeah, I suppose it helps if you're, your cousin is a Rothschild or something like that, doesn't it?
Probably is true. You know, he probably is connected like that.
He should have wrote a book. He should have wrote a book. How to succeed with prostitutes? Maybe that would be more accurate.
Rent boys. They'd probably it with the Conservative Party. This Justin Welby, though. I mean, his father was a Jew. He was something to do with the oil barons. And then last year, he discovered that actually it wasn't really his father. And his mother had had an affair. So his real biological father is no longer with us. But the father that he was brought up by was a Jew. So he was, you know, even though he may not genetically be a Jew, he was brought up to think in Jewish ways. So it's no wonder he's the way he is.
Are you saying that I can say that Justin Welby is a bastard, basically?
Well,
he's
probably not a racial bastard. But he's a...
Well, if you don't know what your father is, you're a bastard. If you don't know who your father is.
Yeah, a legit... What is the word?
Illegitimate bastard.
Illegitimate, yes.
Yeah.
Under the modern idea of what marriage is, if you're born out of wedlock, then you're a bastard. But the older idea of marriage, and you weren't exchanging rings and signing certificates. It was who you consummated the marriage with, and in order for it to conform to natural law, it had to be somebody who looked like you, someone with the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, someone that looked exactly the same as you. Otherwise it was breaking natural law, and it wasn't a proper marriage, and the offspring from that would be a bastard, because it would be a racial bastard, which is where you get the term adultery from. Because what are you adulterating when you commit adultery? Originally, you were adulterating the race. You were adulterating the race with foreign blood, and that was the adulteration, and the result from that was a bastard. And it's just with the modern idea of marriage that, you know, it's a state-sanctioned thing, and it's an exchange of rings, an exchange of vows and paperwork, and you can marry anyone. It then got translated into anyone that was born that her parents hadn't gone through that was then a bastard. But the original phrase was a racial thing. You know, a racial bastard or a Mischling, that they call them. And even now, you know, I mean, because we've allowed marriage to change its actual meaning, instead of it being an act to being this contract with a state involved, that's how they've managed to now claim that sodomy is the same thing. Because what they're talking about is a ceremony, isn't it? They think a marriage is a ceremony rather than... the act of marriage, the consummation of the marriage, which is what it always was before.
And also, I mean, another point about the whole gay marriage thing, it's also going to screw up the statistics. I know it's kind of like a minor point, but the thing is, these homosexuals, they're not going to stay married. I mean, I don't know how long has it been? A year, 2 years, 3 years they've been married? We're going to see a lot of gay divorces in a few years' time. I mean, you got like the gays now, they're pushing it forwards with their pride, you know, they're like doing it for homosexuals, you know, doing it for the pride of the gays. But sooner or later, they're going to start catfighting and tearing each other to pieces, and they're going to start getting divorced. And because the gays are now, you know, included in the marriage statistics, it's just going to drive marriage down even further. And then the left will use that as a weapon just to say that, you know, what's the point in getting married at all? Marriage is useless, etc., etc., etc. I mean, that's a minor point, but anyway.
Well, they'll make a lot of money, won't they, the lawyers? They're going to make a lot of money out of all these divorces. There's another, you know, there's so many sides to that gay marriage, you know, the idea of it. A lot of it, I think, was just to get one over on heterosexual people and to just, you know, really wind them up and wind the church up. And another side of it was so that they could then demand to be given children to adopt because they're married. Yeah. So they can then, you know, anyone that says, well, we don't actually want to hand the child over to you, you know, you've got, you know, previously they could have said, well, you've got charges of buggery and yeah. pedophilia on your record. And now they've done away with all of that. So for them to say, oh, well, we don't want to hand a young boy over to you because you're homosexual, you've got a record of pedophilia, you can't say that anymore. Yeah, and they've actually done it, literally done away with all the convictions for buggery, basically. Just recently, they pardoned everyone up until 1964 or whenever the year was that they legalized sodomy. Anyone that was arrested and charged with sodomy before then, they pardoned them all. And, you know, some of them may have been, you know, consenting adults that were engaging in it, but a vast proportion of them will have been children or young minors that were being buggered by these older pedophiles. Mm. And these older pedophiles have now been pardoned. They no longer have a criminal record. They could now go out and pretend to be married, say that they're gay married, get their certificate, and then they could demand to be given a child for them to own, a young boy for them to own, and the adoption agencies would have to hand them over, and there'd be no record of yeah. of their pedophilia. And that's how sick and twisted it is. And we're supposed to celebrate this. The BBC are telling us how yeah. wonderful it is that all these old perverts and paedophiles have all been pardoned.
Yeah.
Insane.
I mean, it's a prize for them as well, isn't it? There is a film, a documentary floating around the internet, which is called The Gift. Now, I haven't actually watched it because it looks really disgusting, but apparently this is what they think. It's the gift, you know, when you find a nice, young, pubescent 14 or 13-year-old boy and then, you know, you defile him. That's the homosexual gift that they're giving people. And this is the point which these pro-gay people, these libertarian people, they never talk about this. They never talk about the danger to children. They never talk about the fact that these homosexuals are predators and they like young boys and they will chase after young boys and they're dangerous. It's something which is totally, totally swept under the carpet. And now, yeah, it's just basically disgusting. We now have a situation in this country where gay men are just able to adopt basically their little toy boys and just abuse them and dress them up in dresses, you know, and they have their parties and the friends come round and like, oh, look, this is our son and he's wearing a dress and put the pictures on Facebook, and then I don't know when he'll get to like well, actually you can't really do it in this country, but you know, when he gets to 18 he'll persuade him that he's a woman and then he'll cut off his, you know, his genitals and put hormones in him to change his growth. And I mean, it's just really, really getting, you know, really extreme. But I mean, just even if you think that's extreme, there are people, like I've heard Milo talking about this because he, you know, puts himself forward as a moderate gay, or I don't know what the hell, but anyway, I heard him talking about it once and he was saying, you know, back in the old days, he said, a gay man, they would usually get married, right? Because most men are married. We used to live in a society where everyone was married. It was just assumed that you have a wife, right? So he said back in the old days, gay men would get married and the gay sex would just be something they'd have on the side, you know. And he puts that forward like it's a good thing, you know, that used to happen in the past. Like, oh, back in the past, it was good. How is that good at all? I mean, imagine if you're a woman, right, and you're married to a faggot and your husband is going around, taking up the arse from other men, and getting AIDS and getting diseases and getting all kinds of horrible crap. And then he's coming home and, you know, assumedly having sex with you by force or however, you know, the woman's got desires. She's going to want to do it with her husband and giving the wife diseases. How is that a good thing? How is it a good thing to allow women to marry a homosexual? Imagine if that's your sister, and you know this guy, you know, your sister's marrying a man, and you know he's got like a bit of a faggot side to him. Are you going to want your sister to marry that guy? It's just
terrific, isn't it? Terrific.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any angle that you take, even if you take like this, because this is what they do. You know, you have the extreme version of the whole gay pride, the problems with the gay pride, and the problems with abusing children. And then when you start to point that out, they'll withdraw. You know, they'll step back, and they'll say, well, yes, you're right. I think, you know, the homosexual thing is a bit too extreme these days. In the 1950s, it was okay, you know, because gays used to get married. But no, mate, I'm sorry. It wasn't. What about these poor women that ended up marrying these faggots? I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, yeah.
It was never okay. I mean, I think I've also heard that where you were saying the gift there, I thought the gift was AIDS. I mean, some of them will deliberately go out to try and catch AIDS. Because then that will give them sympathy with all the other homosexuals that have got AIDS. So that they'll deliberately go out to try and catch that. But the thing that really gets me is the only way that they can remake other homosexuals, they have to recruit homosexuals. They can't create homosexuals through reproducing. They're not capable of doing that. They have to recruit. And the only way to recruit is to abuse a child. If you look at Milo, that's how Milo was turned homosexual. He was raped, I think it was, by Negroes. And then he turns out to be homosexual. And this is the same with the majority of homosexuals. They were abused as children. Now, you would think that if we had homosexuals and the reason for making them was because the children were abused, they would do everything they possibly could to keep the children safe from these homosexuals. Not all of the homosexuals may be pedophiles, but a large portion of them are, and a large portion of homosexuals are created by that. So the thing to do is to prevent homosexuality and keep them away from children. But instead of doing that, what they've done is said, oh no, it's perfectly fine to be a homosexual. Yeah, we'll just celebrate that. Never mind the fact that the reason why you're a homosexual is because you were abused by a pedophile. We're not going to do away with the pedophiles that abuse kids. We'll just celebrate the fact that now you're so messed up, you can't produce children with the opposite sex, and you can't have a stable relationship for a lifelong relationship with one person because you've been messed around with. You know, it's totally the opposite way round of dealing with it. You know, they've got a problem. You've got homosexuals. What do? Prevent homosexuals from being made and children being abused? Or do you encourage homosexuals to be made, encourage children to be abused, and celebrate the fact and facilitate it by teaching children about it at school? That they shouldn't be, they shouldn't discriminate against the homosexual pedophile. They should treat him just like everyone else. When it makes their skin crawl to think about it. Can you imagine these kids, 10-year-old kids, being told about the mechanics of gay sex? It's horrific. Absolutely horrific. And they're doing all of this just to please the homosexuals. There's no thought whatsoever about children in this, or the innocence of children. Children, they just look at as a property, and product, rather, that they can sell on to these homosexuals that claim to be married, that claim to be families. That's what they look at as accessories. You know, the new accessory for the homosexual to have instead of a handbag is to have a child. Mm. And promote this. Elton John and David Furnish, the two, you know, those two faggots, they're the most famous ones with this kid. That poor kid, you know, he's been kidnapped from his real parents. He's being held hostage, as it were. But they've sold him for money. That's what it comes down to. You know, they look at children as just a product that can be sold for money. And the money that's involved in it is the adoption fees and the adoption companies. And decent adoption companies, decent Catholic adoption companies that used to find and pair up really, you know, good children with good families that wanted them, they've had to stop doing it because they don't want to give the children away to homosexuals. So now you've got adoption companies that wish to be politically correct. They're obviously, you know, going out of their way to look for homosexuals so that they could say, oh, yes, you know, we don't discriminate. We support diversity. We've given away as many children as we can to these homosexuals to adopt. You know, it makes me mad.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it is disgusting. And it's also interesting how the left wing has absolutely no sympathy at all for children, even though they use children a lot in their propaganda. Like if it's green, you know, global warming propaganda, they pull out the child, don't they? Think about the environment for your future. You know, we have to deindustrialize our country and move all the factories to China so that, you know, your children can have trees and stuff like that. They pull out the kids for that. They pull out the
half-breed kids as well. Don't forget, they'll all be half-breeds.
Well, yeah, they pull out the kids when it comes to Syrian refugees. But when it comes to kids being, you know, buggered by homosexuals, oh no, we won't talk about that. When it comes to young women being raped by Pakistani rape gangs, all of a sudden it's, you know, zip, silence, nada, nothing. They're utterly hypocritical. And it's actually a very powerful propaganda message. And I'm just going to spin this whole conversation back again because I see we're getting close to the end time. I just wanted to say just an appeal to anybody that listens to this channel. We need more blogs and we need more people on the YouTube and we need more people doing what we're doing. And I think most of the people at home listening to this right now are just as angry as I am and are just as angry as you know, Sven, as you are, Sven, obviously. And it's not difficult. I mean, I'm not an intelligent person at all, but all I do is I get a notepad, right? And I just write down a list of points, 5, 6, 7 points. And then I open up my phone and then I just rant and ramble into my phone, right? About things that make me angry. And then I get the audio file, save that. And then I get some memes off the Daily Stormer. And then I put the pictures over the top and then boom, that's it. That's a video on YouTube. And you can do it completely anonymously. And you know, obviously you get a fake, not fake, but you get a Gmail account, so it's for a special YouTube channel, so you can't, you know, it doesn't have your name on it or whatever. You can do it completely anonymously, with very little risk, and it's something that anybody can do. You don't have to be, I'm not an intellectual, I mean, obviously Sven is an intellectual, but...
not much.
You know, I'm not a particularly clever, I mean, I did a video the other day about the Odyssey, but you know, I'm not a well-read person. I just read that Greek book and I thought, well, you know, that's inspiring. So I wrote something about it, but you know, anybody can do that. Anybody can do what I do. And, the more, the merrier. There are so many, I mean, I just, because I only got one channel, I've only got so much, you know, a limited amount of time, but I see so many, propaganda opportunities that we could jump on, like for example the MP thing that we were talking about earlier, you know, making specific videos about specific MPs, talking about, you know, getting into their heads. We could make propaganda videos about the movie industry. Every single movie that comes out, you can have a little 10-minute rant about it. You can have 10-minute rants about I mean I don't watch TV, I never watched it in years, but I don't know, Coronation Street, EastEnders, all the characters. Think of all the lowbrow kind of trash culture that the general masses are absorbed in. You know, the kind of magazines you see if you go into a newsagent's and it's all this lowbrow kind of Big Brother type stuff. Imagine if you were making videos about that stuff and putting a cultural Marxist interpretation into it. You know, putting something, a spin on. That's something the masses, they just lap up. You don't have to be that smart to do it. All you have to do is take some flipping Coronation Street soap character who's having sex with a black man and just make a video and say, that's disgusting, right? And put that on the YouTube and you'll probably get a few thousand hits, you know, before they take it down. But then you just upload another one and, you know, rinse and repeat. So I just thought I'd say that to the people that are listening. We have our own television channel. And it's called the YouTube, and we should just start using it more. Yeah.
And there's, you know, with the advent of the smartphone, then, you know, you don't need to have lots of equipment. You can just film yourself on that. I know your the first ones that you were doing were just on your smartphone there, Subal, and they had a really good quality, really good audio quality. on that phone. You can literally just film yourself on that and upload it, and before you know it, everyone, you know, can watch it. And if it is talking about somebody famous, then anybody that's interested in that famous character, that celebrity, that film or what have you, is then going to be interested in watching that. They're like, it's likely to appear in their YouTube results. Just one way that people can help to keep themselves anonymous is just to buy some of those pay-as-you-go SIM cards for your mobile phone. And if ever you get asked to provide a phone number on Google or YouTube, then you can just put in your SIM card, your pay-as-you-go SIM card, wait until Google sends you the text, send that number in, and then you've got an account. I think you can do it three times with the same phone number before Google and YouTube switch that off. So you could set up three different accounts with that one phone card. The phone card will only cost you £1, and then you're able to keep yourself anonymous. And just to go back to what we were talking about with the homosexuals, I mean, one piece of information that you can give to people to show that a large portion of the homosexuals are pedophiles is to say how many homosexuals are there in the population. Well, there's 1 to 2% in the population are pedophile, homosexuals rather. 1 to 2% are homosexuals. And then if you look at pedophiles in prison, how many of them are homosexuals? And it should just be 1 to 2%, but it's not. It's 30 to 40%. So right. They're 20 times more likely to be a pedophile than a heterosexual. Just going by the prison figures, it doesn't matter which company does the survey, it's always between 1 and 2% homosexuals in the population, and it's always between 30 and 40% homosexuals among the pedophiles in the prison population. And that's a really good statistic that you can tell people. You don't need to go into all the mechanics of the gay sex, but again, that is absolutely vile. The people that support gay marriage and support homosexual rights, they very rarely actually think about the mechanics of it all, or think about all the diseases that are associated with it, the lower life expectancy, the suicide, the madness, the depression, everything else that goes with it. All these things that the media makes out, oh, they're so brave. You know, all of this is brought on themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, they're brave. We used to have a time where heroes were people that did things like invent things, you know, fly rockets and, you know, have great athletic achievements. That used to be heroic. Now it's heroic if you, you know, castrate yourself and say that you're a woman. It's just ridiculous.
Discover new countries.
Yeah.
Colonize new countries, colonize the world. You know, that's bravery, that's courage. You know, moving to the other side of the world, to a country that you've never seen before, that you know has got barbarians and savages in it, and knowing that you're going to have to fight them, and building your own house and building your own community. It's amazing what the white pioneers did, moving to America, Australia, New Zealand. You know, that's courage, that's heroism. They weren't homosexuals. You know, they didn't give people jobs for being homosexuals. They didn't say, oh, we've got to have a certain amount of homosexuals in our government. They didn't say, oh, well, it's fine to have two men living together, pretending that they're a family with a child that they abuse.
You know, it's also, sadly enough, it's something which appeals to young people, especially adolescents, because it's such an attention-seeking thing to do. Like, if you're a young 14 or 15 year old and then you suddenly get it in your head that you're a gay, then all of a sudden you can cause this huge stir amongst your family and amongst your friends and in the school, and you can get people gossiping about you, and you can basically, you know, get swept up in this swirl of attention and sympathy and etc., which does appeal to some people, especially, you know, lonely people or attention seeking people. I have to say, I've actually met two men in my life who are gay, and I've asked them about it, and both of these men, they have never had sex with a woman. They never had sex with a woman. Their first sexual experiences were with men, and they've never, you know, put it
abused,
in a vagina.
Yeah, that's it. They're abused,
and I'm saying to them, I remember having this long conversation with this homosexual guy, and I'm just like, mate, why don't you just get a prostitute, you know, just see what it's like, try it out, you might like it, you know. because this, I was in Brazil. There's a lot of prostitution in Brazil. And he was like, no, 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 I'm not interested. He just doesn't know anything else. And they got him at a very young age, and he's just followed this path. And I don't know, it's awful. And I see it in young people today. Because when I was a young man, this kind of thing never, ever happened. But I see the young people today, it's a thing. It's a thing. I know two or three people that are turning transsexual in my hometown at the age of like 18. I mean, that was just unheard of when I was a kid. I know a guy who's just gone to university, and he's got himself a girlfriend, and his girlfriend's a drama student. And he basically told me that everybody in the drama section of the universe is just like gay or transsexual or just, you know, just utterly
attention seeker. Attention seeking. That's what it is. It's attention seeking. And they see that they get rewarded for doing this. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the difference now. That's why we've seen such an increase in them. Because they're brought up at school to see people being rewarded if they say they're transsexual. They see it on the television. Any sportsman that says that, you know, he takes it up the jacksie, suddenly he's being interviewed on every talk show. Suddenly he's on the front of all the magazines in the supermarket being told what a hero he is. So they see that people are rewarded for being perverts, basically. So then they question. They're also taught to question. They're told, well, if you like, you know, if you think someone looks cool, if you think Arnold Schwarzenegger looks cool, well, you must be attracted to him. So you must be attracted to men as well as women. Perhaps you're homosexual.
Oh yeah, this is
that sort of thinking.
This is the word. I was trying to think of this word earlier on while we were talking. Bromance. That's the word. That's the word. You see it everywhere in the newspapers. If ever you have two men hanging out together and they just become friends. So I've had this said to me, you know, I'm hanging out with some guy and he's just, I mean, you know, we're straight, you know, we're just hanging out. All of a sudden people are saying, oh, you got a bromance going on. You got a bromance. You know, it's just like, no, mate, I'm just hanging out with my friend. Like, I don't want to shag him up the arse. You know, give me, it's just
normalizing sodomy, isn't it? It's normalizing it all. To bring
you
it
can't
in.
Even be friends with somebody now. You can't even be a man and be friends with another man without people turning around and calling you a faggot and saying it's a bromance. It's disgusting.
It's basically they're trying to normalize things to use the same terms that they would normally use for homosexuals that and then using them for heterosexuals and people just put up with it. Now, it makes me think just then that you were saying about that term, Subha. I mean, it says in the Hindu holy books about the Kali Yuga that man's only friend will be his wife, because he won't be able to trust anyone else, and he won't be able to have male friends. And if he's lucky, he'll just have his wife. And obviously, that's the stage that we're at now. That's what they want it to be. They want us to just to look at everyone else around us as a potential sex partner, whether they're male or whether they are female. And anyone that actually does have a good friendship with someone, you know, treats them like a brother, then, you know, they want everybody else to be suspicious of them, that they must be homosexual, because it also damages you know, male bonding and male friendships, because you don't want to be seen to be homosexual. You don't want to be seen to, you know, have a close friendship with somebody, because other people might think you're homosexual. So it damages friendship. It damages masculinity and masculine bonding as well. Yeah, everything about it is harmful, and none of the harmful aspects ever get spoken about because it's politically incorrect to do so. But we do so.
I was just trying to think in the back of my head. You were saying that. I was trying to remember that guy's name, Hoover, J. Hoover, the founder of the FBI. They say that he was a homosexual because he never got married. Personally, I don't believe it. There used to be an age where some men used to be celibate and dedicate themselves to their work, and that was considered to be an honourable thing. And he used to go on holidays with his friend. I mean, who's to say? What's to say? It's just not his friend, you know. What's to say? He just enjoyed male company, and he just wasn't interested in marriage because he loved his country and he was trying to, you know, save it. I just got to say, Hoover is a bit of a hero of mine, because I read a little bit about him. He smashed Martin Luther King, and he smashed Malcolm X, and he smashed all these aggressive black movements that were happening in the 60s. And now they just call him a faggot, just to rub, you know, just to rub poo in his face.
Well, of course, they'll try to smear him. I mean, Adolf Hitler was celibate as well. You know, he married Eva Braun right at the end of near to the end of his life, before both ending their lives. But what would have been the point in marrying her if he hadn't been celibate up until that point? Now, he obviously concentrated all his energies on rebuilding his nation. But again, this is another thing that the homosexuals will do, is try and smear the heroes of the past and make them out to be homosexuals. It'd be good if you could do some more research into J. Edgar Hoover. I'm sure listeners would like to hear that, Subal. But we've come to the end of the podcast now. So I think we've had a pretty good one this week. We've gone into lots of stuff, encouraging people to make their own propaganda. We've explained, you know, how you can talk to people about homosexuals, bring them round to our side, wake them up, because they know.
Bit of a rant. I want to say one last thing. N4UK, if you're listening to this, mate, I want to get your mobile phone. I want to hear you have a rant. You're already a hero on the Daily Stormer, and I think you are destined to be a YouTube star.
We all want to hear a rant from Nationalist for UK, but we've been trying that for some years now, to actually get him behind a microphone without any success. So good luck with that one, Subal. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. And we'll be back next Monday, same time, same place, at Radio Aryan with another SAS Britannia for you. We hope you have a great week ahead of you.
Aryan, for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.